some thoughts this morning. You know, as we were worshiping, and I was just telling Sam, you know, that third song was a little rough, and we have them at times, amen? but can I tell you, all of your mistakes are over as quickly as the mistakes in that song, and nobody remembers again. Amen. Nobody remembers them again. Everybody looked, and you know what I said? Thank God I'm not playing the drums. That's all I say, because I'd make the same mistakes, amen? But your mistakes have disappeared as quick as they did. And by the time we hit that next, by the end of the song and the next song, nobody even remembered the drummer was up there. Amen? And you've got to remember your life is the same thing. You look at your mistakes, you think about them, you ponder them, and they consume you. Nobody else does. They all looked at you and said, well, thank God that wasn't me this time. That's all we do, and then we go on about our lives. Amen? And I was talking with Brother Jeff for a moment, and he said that his pastor had said something to him one time that stuck with him. And he said, you know how they wash cows? they take them down to the river, and they let them just stand in the river. That's all they got to do. There's no striving. There's no struggling. All they do is stand in the river, and they're washed. And that's what Jesus wants for our lives. Amen? He wants us to climb into his presence, stand in the river, and allow him to do all of the work. We stay in his word. We stay in worship. We stay in prayer because we're just like a bunch of cattle. Yeah. We say there's free food afterwards. We'll see a stampede, let me tell you. All right? But I want to encourage you. All you have to do is get close to him and everything changes. It's not on you. You can't clean you. You can scrub as hard as you want, but that inner man is only changed by the power of his love. Amen? And I want to just remind you, you know, that this is a house of miracles. You're in it because of the King that is present and nothing else. He's a miraculous Father that does miraculous things for the miracles that he's created, and that's you. Everything about your life, everything, is mind-boggling. We'll be teaching on the blood. The way that the blood takes care of the body is amazing. The way that God designed you, it's a miracle. So let's keep on believing for miracles, living as miracles, walking in the miracle, expecting the miracles for those people's lives in your family. I'm expecting the miracles in their lives. Amen? If you're expecting that miracle, you won't take your eyes off of what his word says you'll have when you ask. That's how we keep our expectation alive. That's how we walk. If we look at anything else, when we take our eyes off the miraculous, we only see the natural. And I don't know about you, but the natural has failed me every single time. And it never fulfilled. Spurgeon said, if you have little trouble, you will have little faith. But if you have great faith, you must expect to have great trouble. Amen. And you know, in America, we try to protect from everything. They think we don't even have enough sense to ride in the back of a pickup anymore. You know what? That's pretty sad. Gavin did the other day, you know. I said, I don't care, get in the back, boy. They don't think that we can make any decisions, and they try to protect with everything. And we've got to be careful that we don't try to live such a protected life that we never venture out into faith. God wants you out where you can't control it, and you don't like that. You only like what you can feel, what you can see, what you know is a proven thing that you have tasted or touched. This is where humans want to stay. All of us are guilty of it at certain areas of our lives. Amen? Some of us, you know, you won't even eat Brussels sprouts. That's an act of faith. They don't do much for me either. All right? It's the one thing that I'm not big on. But where God wants to take you, you're going to have to cast off what you think. You're going to have to cast off what you've experienced. You're going to have to cast off what you have seen. You're going to have to cast off what you want, because what he wants for you is bigger than what you've ever experienced. Last week, we talked about go forward. We were talking about the Israelites, right? They were standing there with insurmountable odds with the Israelites, or the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea before them, and God said, go forward. And I don't know what's before you. I don't know what's coming. I know how what you see. I know what some people see. And you think it's a little bit bigger than who your God is. But I want you to know that thing before you is not any bigger than the one who is able to carry you through. The one who has actually allowed you to come up against that to see which direction you'll run. And the Israelites, we saw the weakness that they had. And they wanted to run back to Egypt, or what was familiar. They wanted to run back to sin. And how many times do people run in that direction? But God's desire for us is to run to him no matter what's before us, knowing that he's going to make a way. Amen? No matter what's before you, you can't see it, you don't know. You don't know the day and the hour that your siblings, your aunts, uncles, mother, father, whoever it is going to accept Jesus Christ. But can you see them dancing before the Lord? Can you see them on their knees in church crying out, Father, use me? Can you see them sowing into other people's lives and training other people? That's where our eyes have to stay. Because we've already asked, amen? Do you believe that your God hears and answers your cry? Then if we've asked, now we start to rejoice as if we've received. For faith is saying those things that are what? That are not as though they are. And that's where we have to stay. We have to stay. Every time you see something that's less than in your life, you start to speak to it in the name of Jesus and watch the transformation happen. Whether it's looking in the mirror and dealing with something in your life that you struggled with again and again and again and again, you keep on saying to that mirror, that image in that mirror, that you will do what God's called you to do. You are who God said you are. You will accomplish all of those marvelous things that you've dreamed of when you were all by yourself. You'll watch people be healed. You'll watch them raised from the dead. You'll watch people get saved. You'll watch needs be met. You'll watch orphanages be built, churches be planted. Whatever God's putting in your heart, you'll see it if you don't let go of it. But too often, one thing happens in life. One song happens that isn't perfect, and we start looking at the imperfection instead of the perfection. We stop looking at his word, which is perfection. God said, go forward. It may look insurmountable. It may feel like the whole world is against you. That's how the Israelites felt when they saw the Egyptian army. They didn't know anything else. And the biggest army around, the wealthiest army on the planet, was coming behind them. And maybe you feel like that you don't have the ability to win. I want you to know he who sides with God always wins. And it may look like there's no way out. It may cause you to doubt at times. It may even cause others around you to complain about you, just as the Israelites did with God. Moses would even say, what am I going to do with these people? I can't take them anymore. And listen, if you ever lead small group or big groups, you will get to that point. You said it about your children. You said it about your parents. It doesn't matter which end of the spectrum they were on. If everybody didn't agree with you, you were complaining to God. We got to look to him in everything that we do. Amen. And this week, the Lord, I was just in prayer. Yesterday and a couple days before, he just pressed the word establish on my heart. And so today, we're just going to look at that word establish. Because God called us to go forward. God has been preparing us, amen, each and every one of you. God's prepared you in the good through the word, through prayer, through worship. He's prepared you in your families, and he's prepared you even with the failures and the sufferings that we walk through, amen. There's a baptism in the suffering, and most people don't want to suffer. But Jesus suffered, and who do we think we are? He said there's going to be trials that you walk through. It's not that you can't walk through them. It's how you walk through them that he's looking at. He wants to see if you'll trust him or if you'll trust yourself. He wants to see if you'll look unto him or you'll look unto man. Don't look unto man. Get your eyes off of him all the time. No man is the standard. There's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ, right? As this body grows, there's only one thing that we say: God is moving on the hearts of his sons and daughters. Amen? He's the only one that gets all the glory. So don't put your eyes on any other human being. Oh, men, we preach and we teach and we prophesy and all of those things that we do. But there's only one standard, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there's no word above his word that we stand on. A man's word, many men have failed in their words, many of them in prophetic words. There's many prophetic words that did not come to pass. I remember a young lady that was in our church, and prophets came and they prophesied over her that by the end of the year, you'll have a husband. That year came and left. What do you think her thoughts were? Another one came and said the same thing. Her hopes got up and it came and left. And it didn't happen the way that it was spoken. And guess what? That person had to work through the words of man that didn't come to pass. God's word never fails. Man's word, sometimes we miss it. Amen? Not always, but we're fallible, aren't we? Every one of us. Every mom and dad in here, did you ever make a mistake raising your kids? Yeah. Sometimes you prophesied things over them that were wrong. I know you did it. And they were right for a change. It was their brother. It was their sister that did it. They just looked guilty. They'd been guilty for 2 weeks. Everything they touched was breaking in the house. They just walk by a window and it would crack and shatter. So something happened. You say, I know it was you. Don't you lie to me, boy. It wasn't me, daddy. You shut your, don't you. And then his brother comes up. No, it was me, daddy. Sorry. And then we had to come up with those words. Can we talk in the room where nobody else is around, son? With a whole bunch of humble pie, repenting and apologizing. So we've all made mistakes, amen? Men and women have both said things that didn't come to pass. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ, he said that if you believe on him, the word says if you believe on him, you shall be saved. That never lies. When your heart is given to him, it doesn't matter how ugly your past was or what was going on, it never stops working the miracle in your life. And every single person you come in contact with, when they hear those words and they believe and receive them, that word never lies. Amen? We've got to keep our eyes on him. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to start there. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. He just said, so that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. And it says that so that he may establish your hearts, because we know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? God said, I want to establish your heart without blame in holiness. There's a whole lot in that sentence right there, what God wants to do. And if we'll grab a hold of it, you know, to establish it, it means to fix firmly or unalterably, to settle permanently. God wants to establish his word in your heart so that it doesn't move, it doesn't change, that there's no other word that you put in preeminence over his. He wants to settle it in your heart, to fix it so firmly that every time trouble comes, the first thing you grab a hold of is the word of God. Every time someone says something negative or rejects you, the first thing you go back to is, my God loves me so much, he sent his only begotten son for me. And the next thing you know, you can forgive that person instantly. You don't hold a grudge. You don't go blabbing your mouth to everybody else, gossiping, which God hates. You dealt with the issue in your own heart, and God sets you free immediately. Amen. That's what he wants to establish in your heart. See, that holiness that right standing before God, where you don't move from what he has already promised you. That means that no matter what happens to you, you don't respond improperly. Things are going to happen to you. People are going to say things to you. But your expression of your faith will determine the freedom that you walk in. It's really that simple. Genesis 17:2, God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly, he tells Abraham. I will establish, in 17:7, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And it also means to settle or fix what is wavering. How many times have you wavered in your faith? When you cried out to God for something and you didn't see it when you wanted it, did you get an attitude towards God? How many people are on the shorelines of Christianity washed up because God didn't do what they told him to do when they told him to do it? How many times? See, they started wavering like the Bible says, a reed in the wind. However they feel that day, and oh dear Lord, are we in the midst of that season in America? God gave us feelings, each and every one of us. But he didn't tell us to be led by them. We are to have feelings that we love, we have mercy, we have grace, joy, sorrow, all of these things. They're attributes that God has given us of himself. He wants us to walk them out and learn how to walk in them without them controlling us. And he wants that word established in our heart. He wants that thing. He wants to settle it. He wants to fix it. Isn't that amazing? Tell your neighbor, say, you need that fixed. Because there's not a person in here that hasn't wavered. Look at your neighbor. Just look at him. Look at your other neighbor. Oh, yeah, they've all of them have wavered. Everybody, don't look at the person behind you because you know they were like. But everybody in here has wavered at a time or two or three a day. Sometimes, right? One thing happens, and how many times did it compound one after another? And the next thing you know, you were so far off, it took a team of horses to draw you back into reality. And sometimes there's only two words that work for any one of us. Shut up! Sometimes that's what people have to say because we don't stop blabbing and just like a cesspool coming out of our heads because it has nothing to do with faith. Oh my goodness. Tell the person next to you, you have permission if a cesspool is coming out of me to use those two words. Get prepared because it's coming. Get prepared, it's coming. That word to establish, it means not to be doubtful or weak. This is what God wants to do. Listen, he established a covenant with Abraham. He established it with him. He said, I'm going to make a way for you. You're going to go someplace you don't even know. I'm going to provide for you. You're going to be the father of many nations. All that God established and promised Abraham came to pass. Amen? And when we establish his word in our heart, every promise in his word is yea and amen to who? To each and every one of us. To them that believe. Every believer, and are called according to his purpose. So God is preparing us. He's saying, look, go forward. But in order to go forward, you're going to have to establish yourself in a place of faith where you're not wavering anymore by the foolish words of man. You're not looking at what you have in your hand and saying it's not enough. My wife brought that word a while back. Just give them what you have in your hand because that's enough. Moses raised his staff slammed it in the ground, and the sea opened up. Amen? That's all he had in his hand. He didn't have a whole lot of faith at that moment because he was saying, God, what am I going to do? God said, why are you crying out to me? How many people say, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying? How many times could God say that to us? Why are you crying out to me? What did my word say? Moses had to write this stuff as he's going. You know what he wrote? Hey, that worked. just wanted you to know that one worked. I wonder how many things didn't work because he did it in his own strength. How many things did he try in his own strength didn't work? But that one worked. And then he took his staff, and out of solid granite, he just taps it once, and water comes up out of it because he used what was in his hand. God's never going to ask you to use what's in somebody else's hands. He just wants you to use what's in yours. You see, if somebody else uses what's in their hands, they're using the gift that God has given them, and it's producing fruit. But he wants you to use what's in your hand because he knows that you can produce great fruit also. Where's John Burfine? Where's he sitting this morning? Where are you, John? There he is. I knew I saw him. We were here Thursday night with all of the men. And, you know, we were just talking. And from now on, he's Johnny Appleseed because I know he's going to be sowing seed everywhere he goes. It's going to be the words of life, and he's going to have great fruit in his life. Amen? All right. So now you met my friend, Johnny Appleseed. All right. This is what God wants us to do. Whatever's in your hand. He didn't say, sow what's in your neighbor's hand. Wouldn't that be fun? Right? That's like taking up an offering and saying, reach into your neighbor's pocket and give like you always wanted to, right? That's what we like to do, or use somebody else's gift that they have. We want to attach ourselves. I want you to know your gift is as powerful as everybody else's gift in here. When you are established in the Word of God, when you are established that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, when the power from the throne room of God, the blood from the throne room of God runs through our veins, nothing becomes impossible. And we're going to have to make that decision for each of our lives. But God said, I need you to be established in the covenant that I made with you in that New Testament where the blood was enough. When is it going to be enough for the church? For people to stop saying, I can't because. Or for people to stop looking at the things of this world and being distracted. When is the blood enough where the thought that the King of the universe wants to use me. He's impacted my life and changed me. He's healed me. He's washed away my sins. He's deposited in me a gift that's so powerful that no demon in hell can stop it from being manifested on the planet. When does that become our MO for every moment of our lives? When the word becomes established in our lives. When that word takes over above everything else in us, we start to establish and walk in such a way that nothing in this world changes us or moves us. Only he does. And there's only one direction he wants you to go. What direction is that? Forward. Forward. There's enough tracks going backwards in Christianity. There's enough in your life where you kept backing up. You hit a wall and you backed up and you said, I can't. It hurts too much. I can't. Man failed me again. Isn't that amazing? God, I can't serve you because man failed me. How silly does that sound? How foolish does that sound when we hear it out loud? He said, again, he said he wants you to establish it in your hearts, unblameable in holiness. In holiness. He's justified each and every one of us. Amen? He sanctified us. He set you apart. He said, okay, I see everybody else in the room, but I'm setting you apart. One day he chose you out of a whole group of people, didn't he? I remember the day I got saved. He chose me out of 500 people to come forward that day and step into a life of miraculous works. You can see it any way you want, but I know what happened in my life that day. It was a day that God had ordained for me to step into the miraculous, out of the natural, out of the foolish, out of the broken, and into that place where now he has made me whole. Now, it took a while for me to get it into my mind and realize that I was whole. But everything was completed on that day, amen? Everything that needed to be done in your life was completed on that day. Do you agree? Right, did he put a right spirit on the inside of you? Absolutely. So your spirit is prepared and it's ready. The Bible says the spirit is what? But what happens in the flesh is weak. Tell your neighbor, say, stop flexing, you're weak. Yeah. Yeah. I can't.
He wants to establish who he is in your heart so you won't waver. Romans 16, 25 to 27, it says, now to him who is able to establish you. There's only one that's able to establish you. There's only one that's able to stop you from wavering. We can put 52 men around you, but I guarantee you, in your mind, you'll still start wavering. Or we might be able to prop your body up. We might be able to tell you that you're okay, but there's only one that's going to establish you so you stop wavering in your thoughts, and which causes you to waver in your natural man, which causes us to waver looking at the cares of this world and not pursuing God with all that we have. Because the gift inside of so many Christians is laying dormant, and we want to wake it up because it's springtime. Amen? It's springtime, and March is the month of expectations, right? Yeah, how many of you had a sour puss? Oh, 58, 60 degrees, woo! 32. Spring ahead. Lose an hour of sleep. Isn't it amazing? Waver, waver, waver. It's a month of expectation. Listen, the warmth's coming. Summertime's coming. Miracles are coming. For them that believe. So many Christians never see miracles happen because they don't believe. They don't believe God can use them. He can use us all. Will you believe for a miracle with me this week that someone in your family is going to bow their knee? Someone's heart. God's going to open up that rib cage. And he's going to start to massage that heart that's been covered with stone. I don't know about you, but I see God's hands just take that granite, and it just before he even touches it, it just starts to turn to sand again, and it starts falling off before he gets in there. And then he just starts to massage that heart, and that heart starts to feel again. That heart starts to believe again. That heart starts to believe that it could be loved again. That heart starts to find a healing in the hands of God that slowly and gently massage it with all the brokenness and the slices in it and the pieces that are missing. And God starts to mold a new one, brand new, in that chest long before man ever sees anything happening. But I believe that God's going to be massaging some hearts this week. And I know I'm going to see my miracle. It's not a song that I'm singing about. I'm walking it out. And I know that my God is massaging some hearts this week. And I'm not wavering from what his word said, that I'll have what I say when I believe and don't doubt. God's the only one that can establish you in Romans 16, 25. According to my gospel, Paul said, in the preaching of Jesus Christ. So the way that we're going to be established is to go back to Paul's gospel. We're going to have to go back to the written word of God and see how God establishes us. He said, take your eyes off of foolish things. You'll be established in a greater way. Put my word on the doorpost and the lentils. You'll be established in a stronger way. This way, when you go forward, you're not taking 20 steps back, one step forward. This way, when you press forward, you know the provision is already waiting for the vision that God has placed in your heart. This is not waiting for someone else to come up and prophesy and say, hey, you really need to step out in God. Step out in faith. You need to just tell your family that Jesus loves them. It's not somebody else nudging you, pushing you, controlling you, trying to manipulate you to do what God is asking you to do. We're all done with that. Amen. Because as he establishes us, as he sets us up so we stop wavering, and whatever his word says, me and my family will agree with and believe. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4, he said, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he in his radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the power of his word. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become a much better or having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So he's at that exact representation. And he said in these last days, he's spoken to his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He's the heir of all things. And Jesus is the one that said, if you believe on me and not doubt, you'll have what you say. Amen. That's what he said. He said, just speak to the mountain and be thou removed and cast into the sea and it'll go. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what he's teaching us. He's the exact representation, so you don't have to wonder, well, was that really God? Is that how it works? I'm not sure how this works. Jesus showed us how every aspect of life works. He talked to us about marriage. He talked to us about money. He talked to us about men and women in our lives. He talked to us about the afterlife. He spoke everything we have questions about. And he is the exact representation. So there's no more wavering in if he is true or correct or if it's right. Everything else, the world is saying all kinds of foolish things about the Word of God. But they've been doing that since the inception. Amen? They've been doing it since the beginning, and they haven't stomped out the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. They may stamp out Dr. Seuss's book, but they're not going to stamp out the Word of God. Amen? The foolishness of man. Establishing. God wants to establish who you are in him. You know, first he wanted you to establish who he is in your heart. And we see that in Christ Jesus. And as God said, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's everywhere at every time. He's establishing that in our lives through his word. And then he establishes, because once we grab a hold of that, that there is no God like ours. There's none. He's the only living God. Amen? All the rest of them are dead. They didn't make it. All they did was profess to be gods. And they was wrong. Because when they closed their eyes for the last time, they stood before the God. The one and only. And they realized, I was wrong. I just wanted to manipulate men and women. I wanted power. I wanted authority. I wanted control. And then they stood before the one who was all powerful. And guess what happened to them? Their knees buckled like a twig. And they collapsed before the King of God, King of Kings. And they couldn't even look at him because of his holiness. And then he just pushed them aside and said, depart from me, you foul and wicked things. You'll never be allowed into my presence, for you've steered my sons and daughters in the wrong direction. Make no doubt about it. You may see people that have everything. You may see them barking all kinds of arrogant, stupid things on the television. I think there's a special line. I think there's like two lines, right? We've got the believers and the unbelievers, and then we've got another line for the politicians. And that is a line that when everybody's going past is saying, because these people are lying through their teeth day after day and getting paid to do it. Now God wants us to establish ourselves in Jesus Christ and in his word, to realize that, like 1 John 3:3 says, that I am loved. Tell your neighbor, say, you're loved by God. Tell your other neighbor, say, man's love ain't enough, but his is. Right? He wants you to be established in Christ, that you are accepted, Ephesians 1:6 says, that you're a child of God, John 1:12, that you are a friend of God, John 15:14, that you are a joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance with him in Romans 8:17, that you're united with God in one spirit with him in 1 Corinthians 6:17, that you're a temple of God, hot dog. Some good-looking temples in the house of God today. Amen? You are the place where God's glory dwells. Does anybody else in the world know that? I'm a member of Christ's body, and I am a saint, according to Ephesians 1:1. That's who you are. God wants you not to be moved by anything else except his word in that. And then he wants you to establish yourself in his word. And in 1 John 2:25, it says, this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Is there any bigger question than that on the planet? The greatest question is eternal life. What happens for all of eternity? He said, here's my promise. You believe me, don't worry about eternity. I'm building a place for you that's going to blow your mind. It's the greatest question there is, and most people never spend time thinking about it. When you ask the world where they're going, they have all kinds of crazy ideas because they haven't really thought about it. They believe somebody else's stupidity, but they won't believe the truth. Isn't it amazing? They will believe some foolish man that lived for 70, 80 years, but they won't believe the word of God. Oh, that's why you're here. You see, they didn't listen to me, but they might listen to you. They blocked me out. They turned me off. I can't tell you how many times as soon as somebody introduced me, hey, who is this? Oh, this is my pastor. Oh. That's the reaction. Right? Hey, who's this? This is my pastor. Okay, my mom called. Your phone didn't even ring. Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter because fear jumps up. They think that we're going to pound it down their throat. And we might. It depends on how close they are to going into eternity, right? 2 Corinthians 1, 20 to 22. It says, for as many as are the promises of God. Oh, and they're many. In him they are yes. In him they are yes. He said, establish that in your heart. Don't waver from it. No more thinking, I'm not sure about the promises because I haven't experienced it. I'm not sure about the promise because I haven't seen the outworking of what I asked 4 years ago. He said, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God and also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Not only did he establish you according to the word of God, not only did he show you his love day after day after day, then he gave us the Spirit as a pledge. He said, I want you to know the Spirit of God is going to lead you through the darkest times in your life. And he is going to be your light. But he's going to lead you all the way to my throne room. One day when you close your eyes, the Spirit of God is going to bring you in and you're going to see me for who I am. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to spend eternity with you. And there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more fear, not where I am. All of that will be over. But don't worry about, even in times when you're afraid, he said, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God to lead you through those days. Yeah, don't worry. When you stumble and you make a mistake, don't worry, I'm going to lead you through this with the Spirit through those days. When you look around and you make a mistake, remember, it disappears as quickly as one song in your life. Most songs about three and a half minutes, right? Your worst mistake lasts three and a half minutes, because that's usually how long it takes us to repent. You got to think about it for a minute, right? And then it's gone forever. And God never remembers it again. God said, I want you to establish that in your hearts. That's what my Spirit does. And then he said, I want to establish myself through you in the world. See, if we're going to go forward, we're going to have to be established in his word, but then we're going to go establish his word wherever we walk. Amen? I'm establishing the word of God in my area by my house, but I can't establish the word of God in your area near your house. That's your job. Amen? But when we trust in the word of God and we stand on the word of God and we stop wavering, wondering, do we need an apostle to come in? Do we need a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher to come in? Because I'm not qualified. Tell your neighbor, say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Tell your other neighbor, say, I bet you preach better than Pastor Jerome. And everybody said, yes, you do. You see, because the way that you preach is different, but people are going to be transformed by the power of your love when you're established in the word of God and you know who you are. And then you start to preach the way that you preach. My wife preached to our neighbor the other day. After she repented to him. He walks his dog down the road and the dog makes a mess. And she saw him and said, I was wondering whose dog was making all that mess. Can't even get off the side of the road. And then the Lord dealt with her. She had to go back. She repented, apologized, and she made him a cake. Or what was it? A bread, right? Some blueberry lemon bread. I mean, if that doesn't say Jesus loves you, I don't know what does. Amen? And you know what it did? One word of repentance. And that's how she preached. Just handed him that cake. And he opened his door, and they had a chat. And God used her to speak into his life. There was a wrong song the day before to 2 days before. And then she just went back and said, sorry. And he said, oh. And they have a dialogue. And they'll have more in the future. Amen? See, I don't know how you're going to preach it. I love blueberry lemon cakes. Just saying. If any of y'all need to repent to me, I like chocolate silk pie. I like lemon meringue with real meringue. All right, if you need to repent, come on over and let me know. That's why in Matthew 28, he said he wants to establish who he is in the world through you. And he says in Matthew 28, go ye. You're going to have to go into the corner that you live in. When the word of God is established in you and you realize the spirit of God lives on the inside of you and nothing is impossible because of the God that saved you and set you free, then you're going to establish. And that's where the church has been falling short. I didn't think I'd get an amen on that one. Because it cuts us. Because it cuts us. You see, he's established who he is, and that's never going to change. He's established his word, and that's never going to change. He's established who you are in his mind, in his heart, and in his kingdom, and that's never going to change. The only thing that has to change is us establishing him everywhere we walk. That's what we have to do as a church. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Get your bacon on. Whatever it takes. Whatever you can do. Get your scriptures hidden in your heart. Get the promises laid before your eyes and read them to your family every day. Establishing them. And when your kids come home and say, Daddy, I failed. Only for 3.5 minutes, baby. And then we'll never remember it again. You made a mistake. Now let's dance in his presence. Learn from it and establish who he is everywhere we walk. His gift in you is powerful. Everyone in here has a gift. Make no mistake. Your gift came down from eternity. How dare we look at it lightly? How dare we take our gift and we hide it under that basket or a bushel? How dare we hold back because we determined we have other plans right now. But when I get to a certain point, I know I'm not going to quote it correctly, but I read it to the men on Wednesday night, and Spurgeon said that if a man or a woman doesn't serve where they are, they won't serve out there. See, this is where we learn the word of God. This is where we pray. This is where we work together. This is where we serve in the children's church, in the youth. This is where we serve in building maintenance, whatever it is. In the mission field, we get prepared. And the mission field is outside your door, and you know that. But all of the serving starts here. And if you're not going to serve in the house of God, you'll never serve out there. That's what Spurgeon said, not me. Not me. And that's to stir everyone up. Because when you start to apply your faith and you say, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. Now I want to take the gift and I want to start to mature that gift. I want to start to utilize that gift. And the way that we utilize it is just serving. I talked to a gentleman yesterday. And I said, what you guys I've heard many times. We said that. Gifts are a dime a dozen. Talent is out there all over the place, but a faithful man who can find. And God's never looking for leaders that will serve. He's looking for servants first. The heart of a servant first. What does a servant do? Whatever the master asks him to do. And then God makes them into the men and women that he needs. He said, I've never heard that before. Been in church for years and years and years and years and years. I want you to know, God's looking for those that are looking for him. And he said that he's looking for those who will serve. Because if we don't do anything here, are we going to take our gift and utilize it where we live? And you know, there's no condemnation that are in Christ. This is only a time of thinking about what I'm establishing in my life. Have I established that I can put a boiler in and fix plumbing everywhere I am? And not bothered establishing that eternity is in the hearts of all men and women? Have I established what I can do with my hands, but not what God has done through the blood of his son? What have we established? What have we allowed people to see as far as who we are? What's the picture that everybody knows about us? Because when God starts to establish his word in us, he starts to establish his promises in us, he starts to establish his word in us, and then we start to establish him in the world, everything in our area starts to change. And this is what God is looking for. Amen? Those that will establish his kingdom on the earth or express him through the gifts that he's deposited in each one of us. Tell your neighbor, say, I like my gift. Tell your other neighbor, say, yours is okay. Listen, you need to enjoy your gift. You need to know what it is and walk out in it. Amen? This is what God is looking for. He said, I gave good gifts. He didn't give you a bad gift. Who are you? Oh, I'm the one that complains all the time. That's my gift. He gave that one to a lot of people, apparently. But not to this church. Amen? He didn't give that to you, so stop using that gift. Give it back to the church you can't. No, give it back to the enemy. Get rid of it and give it to the enemy because he's the one that brought it in here. Amen? We don't complain, we proclaim. Stand up this morning. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt not to walk around for 40 years and do nothing. He was establishing his people in the earth. He didn't bring them out just to walk around. He didn't save you to walk around. He saved you to change the world. And I thank God that this whole house is filled with world changers. Here comes another one. Oh, my gosh, I almost forgot. Matt and Samara are going to have a baby. They got married 3 weeks ago. No, they got married about 6 months ago, but they're going to have a... Oh, Chelsea and Ethan are going to have a baby? Oh, you're not telling anybody? I'm sorry. Number 5, yes. I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. Just keep them coming. Don't stop. Just keep them coming. Jamike and Jenny, I know you're watching. Get busy. Come on, you only got 2. Nick, get married first, all right? Listen, I love having grandbabies. I love watching them. Congratulations, Matt and Samara. Your life will be transformed forever. Go do whatever you're going to do by yourself right now.
Because it's over.
Sleep all weekend. Except Sunday morning, all right? But it's the greatest gift. Do you realize that God has given you the ability to procreate and create and allows you to raise his kids? The ones that he's determined whether that hair will be red or will that hair will be a different color. The height, the eyes, everything. He's determined it all. But he said, I don't want anybody else raising that baby except for Matt and Samara on this planet. They're the only ones that I trust with this child. And you'll turn that baby back over to him one day. So we got to do it according to his word. Amen? And that goes for the rest of us. We've all made mistakes in that. Amen? But thank God. It's only as long as the song. Those days are gone. Now we're doing things a little bit better, aren't we? Every day we grow a little bit more. Every day we have a little better understanding. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, and I thank you for establishing your presence in this house. You said where two or more gathered in your name. And Father, today we magnify the name of Jesus Christ above all else. Therefore, we know that you're established in our presence and that you've established according to your word that only through the shedding of blood is there forgiveness of sins. And that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved because of the shedding of blood. You said that all of our failures would be washed away. Today, Father, we stand in agreement with that. That we're cleansed, we're made whole. Father, we ask you, we just repent and say sorry for any thought, any words, any attitudes that we have had that have hindered you from working through us. Forgive us for wavering. Lord, today we make a decision to establish ourselves on the principles of eternity. And I thank you for the men and women in here. Father, I pray that we would establish ourselves as the people of the book. That no matter where we walk, they would say, those people, they know the word of God. For we know that it's your word that set people free. It was your word that as we read it, it changed our lives. It renewed our minds. It showed us the order and the steps that you have for us. It's been teaching us that we can look forward because you said that even if a man dies, yet shall he live. Father, we're so excited about that. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory over our lives. We're fearless in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be, that we would establish your love in our hearts and then establish you everywhere we walk. You said, go forward. And Lord, I speak to every gift in the name of Jesus. Lord, stir up the gift in each one of us. Stir it up. No matter how strong we've been walking in our gift, or maybe some haven't been walking in it at all, Father, stir up that gift in them. I know you told us to stir up the gift in ourselves, and I pray that we would do that on a daily basis. But Father, I pray that you would show each one what their gift is, and you would stir it up. Lord, that as they lay down at night, they would think about what you have deposited in them from your throne room that's going to change the world. They would dream about it, proclaim it, write it down, find out exactly what it is, so that your name will be glorified in all that we do, so that we're able to release each one into their destiny that you have created for them. You said it was your steps that you have ordered for us. Lord, we trust you in that. We trust you to order our steps.